Hello. Hi, my name is Paul Nichols. I'm the host of It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. My intent today is just to spend a few minutes with you. I'm going to do a market update as of September 7th, 2016, which would just be a overview of the global marketplace and where we are year to date. And then I want to talk about the three biggest mistakes that investors make in their application and understanding of investing in their own 401ks and IRAs and Roth accounts and the such. So let me just start with the market update to make it relatively simple. We believe in investing is relatively simple, that the goal is to achieve a market return. That's all that there is available, that returns come from the market. They do not come from managers. And that really, we're all in the same market environment at the end of a year. So this, if we were to grab a swath of time, and after that year, we're all in the same market environment. So basically, the most one can achieve is a market return minus the cost of investing. The concept or the idea of trying to beat the market really has no proof beyond theory. There's certainly no proven or empirical proof to support a consistent outperformance of the market. So we believe in three basic rules, and that is own equities, diversify, and rebalance. And understand that investing is a lifelong endeavor. I mean, when we invest, we don't invest until we retire. People often think, well, now that I'm retired, let me move all my money to cash or whatever. No, you need to get a market return or have your money grow until you check out, not just till you retire. So with that said, it's important that we understand that we're looking to get a total global market return, and that's all one can hope for. We need to understand that the concept of diversification and dissimilar price movements, umbrellas and suntan lotion. So the market update is designed to just give a quick snapshot and a couple nuggets of academic truths, if you will, what we would call investing realities, not investainment, but investment realities as it relates to the way investing works. And it really is not as complex as most of what we see that inundates us, overwhelms us, intimidates us. There's not a lack of information in our country, folks, but there is a lack of direction. So let me not get off on a tangent there. Let's look at the market update as of September 7th, 2016. The S&P 500, which is predominantly what a lot of you see in different broadcast and information sources, is widely regarded as a good gauge of the U.S. marketplace because it represents 500 predominantly U.S. large companies. Those would be the main engine, if you will, of our economic structure. And year-to-date, they're about 7%. So U.S. large is up year-to-date. Now, the Dow Jones, that's 30 companies. That's another index of 30 companies, which would be more like the mega companies or the aristocrat companies, if you will. But at this point, that would be S&P 500 as a across the board, U.S. large is up 7%. Then we go into the Russell 1000 Value Index. That's a different index. That measures the performance of large cap value. Not growth, but value. And that's one of the risk premiums that we get in investing. There's a few risk premiums that have been proven that are premiums that are returned to us for the risk that we understand. It's quantifiable. We realize that there's a little more risk in owning a value company over a growth company, but the value companies have a higher return historically. So you want to own large U.S. value, and that's almost 11% year-to-date as of September 7th. It's a beautiful thing because we're coming off a flat year in 2014 and a slightly negative year in 2015. The market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. So at this point, we have U.S. large and growth and value, 7 and 11% respectively. We go on to the Russell 2000, which measures small companies. These would be smaller U.S. companies to very small, micro, 11.4% year to date. Let's move on to value, small cap and micro value, not growth companies, but value companies. And we have 15.4%. So man, the market in the U.S. is certainly rocking at this point. It's great to see it's starting to absorb some of the flat 14 and a little bit of the losses, depending on whether one was more conservatively or aggressively invested in 2016. Let's move on to the international market because that is huge. I believe that's where a lot of money managers, even those that are not as active, that are more passive, really don't seem to embrace. And I can't quite understand that, because all the science certainly points to that. You need to be in all the developed and emerging markets in the world, because you never know which one's going to be up. And the idea is to get a market return, so you want to get everything that's in the market. Now, we understand not everything's going to be up all the time, and not everything's going to be down all the time. So that's where rebalancing comes in. See, three rules: own equities, diversify, rebalance. Easily said, hard to do, both emotionally and functionally, the way the market is set up for the average investor, by the way. But internationally, what we have is Morgan Stanley Capital World. This would be excluding U.S. This would be the developed countries in the world, and it's about 2.3%. As many of you probably understand, with the rocky year that we've had in the international environment, BRIEX and other factors, they've had some volatility over there. Now, we all love volatility when it's up, of course, but at this point, it's in the black, which is good. It's not in the red. So 2.3%. Then we move on to the Morgan Stanley Europe, Australia, Far East. That's Europe, Australia, Far East, and it's almost 1% up, 0.75%. Let's move on to the emerging markets, which has been the winner, winner, chicken dinner, which, by the way, has been the loser the last few years. Actually, the biggest area that rebalancing has taken place into, a lot of the U.S. growth has been taken and put into the emerging market index arena in the last couple of years. Well, that's starting to turn. It's a beautiful thing, and we're seeing it in the growth of the current market-based portfolios. And what we're seeing is 16.25% up in the emerging markets area. When we go into a little bit deeper into the Europe, Australia, Far East value and small, in the value it's 0.4%, and in small 3.6%. But now let me make sure you understand the difference between the developed and emerging markets. Developed markets would be the countries that are well developed, like the Australias and Canadas and France, Germany, Japan, New Zealand, Sweden, UK. Then we get into the emerging markets. These are countries that are obviously less developed. These would be Argentina, Chile, Czech Republic, Egypt, Indonesia, Mexico, Philippines, Russia, South Africa, Turkey, and etc. So when we look at the market overall, at this point, September 7th, 2016, it's a beautiful thing. It's great to see this growth. You know, that two-thirds bias gets rough when we're in those couple negative years. But the market has a two-thirds bias historically. It always has. It always will. If you look at the last 100 years of data, 90 years really, certainly going on 40, going on 50 years internationally now, it's pretty clear. It's a very clear pattern. The market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up. One out of every 3 years is down. Now, for the sake of time, because I sound like Machine Gun Kelly, I'm on my second cup of coffee this morning, let me define something that you might have heard in the news recently, and then the three biggest mistakes investors make, and that is the NASDAQ is hitting new highs. Now, the NASDAQ is an exchange in the stock market. It's primarily made up of the American Stock Exchange, and it's the second largest exchange behind the New York Stock Exchange. Well, the NASDAQ is primarily made up of tech companies, technology companies, and small U.S. So we have technology companies and small U.S., and the small U.S. companies would not just be tech, but would be predominantly growth companies, by the way, and they would be tech across the board. No, I'm sorry. It's tech predominantly, and then small companies in all the sectors of the marketplace, you know, manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, all the different sectors of the marketplace. So when you hear the NASDAQ hitting new highs, it's really speaking to the small U.S. growth area of the marketplace, both value and growth. And what we see there is why it's hitting new highs, or it's respectively hitting new highs. We see that also indicative in the Russell 2000 index and the Russell 2000 value, which measure those small areas, and it's 11.4 and 15% up. So when you hear the NASDAQ hitting a new high, that really represents more the U.S. small growth part and technology area of the U.S. marketplace, just as a reference point and a definition. Let me move on now to the three biggest mistakes most investors make. If you believe that returns come from the market and not from managers, then in order to apply that overruling philosophy, there's a few rules if you want to put that into action. And those rules are very simple. Own equities, that would be stocks. Equities are basically stocks, bonds. Own equities. Diversify, meaning spread it across the world, not across sectors, but asset classes. We can get into those definitions at another time. And then realize you need to rebalance. You need to rebalance scientifically, periodically, and remove all emotion by applying a scientific approach and filters as it relates to rebalancing that are hardwired, long-term, immovable filters. And recognize that the market goes up, the market goes down. But unfortunately, most people have the wrong perception of the market, that they believe the market can be beat, or that returns come from managers. And you cannot pick up any financial-related publication, news source, a TV, video, iPad, however you get your information, and not see in 5 minutes that inferred, that reference, that that applied, implied, directly or indirectly. Because people believe that stock picking, timing the market, and track record, looking at a track record to determine future choices, makes sense. Market timing, track record investing, and stock picking have absolutely no empirical, proven, academically supported data to support it. It is purely emotional, and it really starts to get into a whole new field of study in finance today, and that is investor behavior and why they do what they do. And the whole concept is very simple. Fight or flight. We're wired as human beings to either fight or flight. It's a fear. I think of it as always, I tell my kids, you know, it's either the carrot or the stick. I always use the mule example of the old gentleman sitting on a mule with the, you know, carrot on a string and a stick with the carrot out in front of the mule. The mule keeps walking to try to get the carrot. Or the stick, another gentleman might be beating his mule to get up the hill, so to speak. But we're motivated by pain or pleasure, one thing or the other. And if we are not grounded in the philosophy that we really understand and internalize and have worked through in our brain by really marinating on it, we are going to be swayed by the news that implies or suggests every few minutes that something needs to be fixed, that something needs to be repaired, that something needs to be proactively or reactively addressed. And that's not the case with investing, ladies and gentlemen. It should be a pretty much out of sight, out of mind thing. Get a structured portfolio, not active or not passive, but a structured portfolio, and understand that returns come from the market, not from managers. If you believe they come from the managers, then you need to keep chasing returns. And the challenge with that is you got to get above a market return to make up for the cost of chasing the market. So with that being said, let me, for clarity, summarize that for this year, as of September 7th, the market's doing wonderfully. It's great to be invested when the market's up, that the rules are relatively simple. Own equities, diversify, rebalance. The market has a 2/3 bias. 2 out of every 3 years is up. 1 out of every 3 years is down. You never know which is which. If you have a well-diversified structured portfolio where you're applying the rules of owning equities, diversifying, and rebalancing, folks, there's nothing to fix. There's no social, political, economic climate that would require anything to be fixed. But if your philosophy's not grounded and you don't really understand and you haven't decided that returns come from the market and not managers, well, then you're never really going to be grounded, because you would be under the impression or you under the belief that you could, in fact, beat the market. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap up the market update and the 3 biggest mistakes investors make. And I hope this finds you well. If you'd like to learn more, there's plenty of information through faicoach.com, our website, that you can link through iTunes, faicoach.com. There's a lot of information on there. There's certainly opportunities to request more information. We believe education leads to clarity. Clarity leads to confidence. And only with confidence can one have peace of mind. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm the host of It's Your Money and the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm located in State College, Pennsylvania. Yes, Happy Valley. We are Penn State. Hope this finds you well. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening.